So I hope you had a great Christmas. Hope you ate a lot of food. Hope you, if you braved the stores to return anything, I hope you did that too and it was successful. We had a great holiday in my family. I actually had a little vacation time left. Had a couple of days of vacation this last week, and it's sort of like a use it or lose it kind of deal at Cross Church. So, you know, I'm like definitely going to use it. So I packaged that together with Christmas, and lo and behold, I had almost a whole week off. So that's kind of cool. And so we did something that we normally don't do, and that's just hang around. Usually when we vacation, we're like traveling. We're like off. We're like going somewhere. And we just don't get a chance a lot of times to just hang out and don't do much of anything. So that's what we did. We just kind of hung out and hung out with my kids and went to Silver Dollar City one day. We slept in a little later than normal. I don't get to eat lunch at home a lot of times because I'm working, so I got to eat lunch at home. Got to eat my favorite lunch, peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Ate a lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches this week. And just sort of relaxed, you know. Back in the day when Julie and I first got married, we traveled at Christmas, you know. We were newly married, so we would do the circuit between in-laws and parents, and then kid came along, kept doing the same thing. Two kids came along, we kept doing the same thing, and then finally we were like, you know what? There's like more of us than you, so we're going to like stay home and be here, and you can come to us, right? You know, the Christmas packages become, you know, they get bigger after you put them together, like a kitchen, you know. So we just started staying at home several years ago, and it's kind of nice. Took some time to do some things I normally don't do, and that's watch a little more TV than normal, you know. So I'd sit down in the evenings or the afternoons and start thumbing through, see what I can find on TV, and I got to tell you, it's hard to find stuff to watch on TV today. Amen? I mean, it's like, I've got this package through Cox, all right? 220 channels is what they tell me I got. And I can't find much of anything to watch, which I know sounds crazy, you know, but I'm thumbing through, and they're like, there's this show called Fat Guys in the Woods. Like, and any of y'all seen that show? I promise you, it's a real show. So I'm like, well, this looks interesting. So, and you know what it is? It's three fat guys in the woods. They're just like stumbling around, trying to build a fire, trying to survive. And you do that for a little while, and okay, let's see what else is on, right? So then there's this show called My Big Fat American Gypsy Wedding. Like it's a show, not a like there's episodes. Like it goes on and on, and I didn't even go there. And then what really caught my eye was My 600-Pound Life. Like, wow. And then I'm starting to see a theme, you know, in the shows, you know what I'm saying? And then I broke the theme with, like, this show called Little People, Big World. Y'all seen that one? Man, it just goes on and on. I mean, it's like, how can there not be anything to watch, you know? And it's so complicated, and there's like this pressure. And the next thing I know, I literally have spent 30 to 45 minutes trying to find something to watch, like a whole episode of life, trying to find something to watch, and I hadn't found anything to watch. So it's like, you know, you give up, right? You know, it's amazing. And, you know, as we're sitting here in this like holiday, but you know, this Sunday between holidays, you know, Christmas and New Year's, and this idea of channel surfing, let me tell you where I connected the dots for me. A couple of years ago at one of our men's conferences here at Cross Church, we had a guy that came to speak to us, a pastor named James McDonald, great pastor up north, I mean, a phenomenal speaker. And so periodically I'll listen to one of his podcasts, and my wife heard one and told me I should listen to it. It was really good, and it kind of caught my attention this last year. James says that life is a lot simpler. Our real life is a lot simpler than the cable packages that we get, because in real life, we all of us only really have three channels that we deal with, you know, in real life. You know, so, sort of like in the old days before cable, like when I was a kid growing up, there was like CBS, NBC, ABC, and nobody really watched PBS, right? As a kid, especially, right? Maybe Sesame Street. But you know, what was on, and that was sort of like it. And then the wonderful world of cable and satellite TV came along, and now we can't watch anything. And McDonald said, you know, life, real life, the life that you and I live is so much simpler. That's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the three channels of our life that are just so really very simple, but can really cause problems, sort of like channel surfing. So let me talk to us this morning, first of all, about the first channel. I'm going to call it channel one. That's really innovative, isn't it? Channel one, all right? Everybody got it? Everybody put finger, channel one, right? Let me talk about channel one. Channel one is a station that is called, now get this is going to blow you away. It's called yesterday. Yesterday. This is a great channel. This is really a great channel. This is the channel where all of your favorite television shows reside. I mean, everything that you love growing up, you know, Gilligan's Island, Leave It to Beaver, I'm listening to things I grew up with, you know, the Andy Griffith Show, you know, Facts of Life, you know, the things like that, you know, all these shows that's where you can go and just relive them again. You can get that really good feel good, you know. Christmas time is a great time to go to Channel 1, yesterday, you know, because everybody's got a favorite Christmas movie, isn't that right? How many of y'all have a favorite Christmas movie, right? How many of you watched your favorite Christmas movie at least once, right? In my family, the movie Elf is a favorite, right? Y'all like Elf? You know, the exploits of Buddy the Elf. We watched that at least three times, I think. We like the Santa Claus, you know, with Tim Allen. That's one of our favorites. On Christmas Eve, when we had got done and with everything that we were going to do, and we finally settled down for a long winter's nap, we watched one of my very favorite Christmas movies. It's called It's a Wonderful Life with the great Jimmy Stewart. Love that movie. Every time a bell rings, what? An angel. You've seen it too, haven't you? Yeah, it's your favorite too. Love those movies. You know, anytime that I start to worry about my family, that maybe we're a little dysfunctional, I just watch Christmas Vacation, right? 10 minutes of Cousin Eddie, and I'm like feeling really good about my family, right? Channel One, that's what Channel One will do for you. It's great, you know. But here's the thing. You don't want to get stuck on Channel One. You don't want to get stuck on Channel One. And that's easy to do. It's really easy to get stuck on yesterday. You don't want to get stuck on Channel One because let me give you a clue about Channel One. Listen to me. Every show on Channel One, every one of them, was canceled. They were all canceled. You want to know why they were canceled? Because people quit watching. They moved on. It was time to move on. There's something new on, something better on. And so we move on. So, you know, it's okay to go there, but you don't want to be stuck there. Matter of fact, you'd be surprised to know that the Bible actually talks about channel one. Would you be surprised to hear that? You know, the Bible talks about channels. And it's in Philippians. And I'm going to put all this on the screen, but if you real fast and you can get there with me. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Paul talks about channel one, the Apostle Paul. And here's what Paul says. He says, "Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind." Forgetting what is behind. So like, you know, if you're taking notes, if you're a note taker, or you got your Bible open and you got a highlighter, that's like a really key phrase, forgetting what is behind. It's talking about channel one. I forget about channel one and I reach forward to what is ahead. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. You know, when I think about channel one and I think about Paul, these are the words of Paul. What Paul is saying, I have to forget about what lies behind. So this is like personal. And I begin to think about Paul and what I know about his life. And I'm starting to think in my mind, what was on Paul's channel one? What was on Paul's channel one that he needs to move on from? You know, and here's what we know about Paul. We know that Paul grew up as a young man of some means, that he must have come from a pretty well-to-do family. And we know this because his family was able to place him in the very best educational environment of the day. We know that Paul studied under a Jewish rabbi named Gamaliel. Now, Gamaliel was one of the top rabbis. I mean, there were lots of rabbis that people would seek to study under, but I'm telling you, during Jesus' day, Gamaliel was at the top of the food chain. Very few people had the privilege to be able to, and the connections to be able to study under Gamaliel. So just the very fact that he was able to study under Gamaliel tells us about the kind of background that he had and the future that this young man had. The Bible says that Paul calls himself a Jew among Jews, and he was on the fast track. I mean, he was really going somewhere. And so you know, when Paul then accepts Christ and loses all of that, I just wonder how many times Paul was sitting around, and the Bible says he had to make tents for a living. So a guy who's got the very best education in the land is sewing canvas together so he can eat. I wonder how many times he was tempted to think about Channel 1 when things were really good. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, you know, I got to forget about what lies behind. Sometimes we do that with Channel 1. We get stuck on the good stuff. You know what I'm saying? The good old days. You know, and no matter how hard we try, you know, today just doesn't match up with the good old days. And so we're just sort of stuck there in the past on Channel 1. But sometimes, for some of us, we don't have, like, the good old days when we think about Channel 1. For some folks, it's like, you know, the bad old days. And I'm sort of thinking maybe that was that way for Paul, too. Because, I mean, after all, Paul was also a Christian killer. So, like, it was his responsibility to round up Christians and to oversee their execution. And I'm just wondering, I mean, I'm really wondering how many times that this absolutely tormented Paul. How many times he would lay down at night, even as a believer in Christ, and the last thing he saw before he went to sleep was the faces of people, and he knew their names because he had the list, and he was actually hunting them down, and he held their coats while they were stoned, and he actually saw them cry out for forgiveness and for mercy, and he had no forgiveness, and he had no mercy, and he was the one responsible. And how many times did he wake up in a cold sweat with those images and those people crying out in his head? And it just tormented him, and it dogged him, and it pursued him, and it chased him down. And Paul was like, I've got to forget about what lies behind, and I've got to look forward to what is ahead. You see, the good old days and the bad old days, you don't want to be stuck on either one. See, there's a problem with Channel 1. And I'm telling you, it's a real problem. That plagues many people today. When you get stuck on Channel 1, you can slip into what is called clinically, it's called depression. Depression. And the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia, says that there are 10% of the population of our nation that at any given time are suffering from depression. And it's actually worse during the holidays. You know why I think it's worse during the holidays? I think it's worse during the holidays because during the holidays, people have a tendency to go to Channel 1 a little more often, to go back, you know what I'm saying? And they sort of just get stuck there. This is a big deal, church, because if this is true, what that means is that in this room today, because I don't think Christians are immune from this kind of stuff, like we tend to think sometimes. What it means is if we start numbering off in this room 1 to 10, what it means is that 1 out of 10 people in this room, and there's a lot of people in this room, it means right now you're suffering with some form of depression. You're suffering. And it may really be a silent suffering. So this is all of a sudden not like personal now, isn't it? And like very real. Something that happens also on Channel 1 is that people who get stuck there, they like to get other people, they like to invite them over to their house to watch Channel 1 with them, to pull people in, you know? And here's the thing. What you have to do, well let me put it this way. If you're in your house, this is where the illustration really makes simple sense. If you're at home and you're watching like a really bad movie, like you're flipping through and you're like, well, let's give this a shot. You know, I've never heard of this. It gets 3 stars. You know, it's got somebody in it I maybe know. Let's give the movie a shot. And you're like 15 minutes into the movie and it's a bad movie. Like it's a bad movie. Like you're wasting your life watching this movie. What do you do? What do you do? I know what I do. I change the channel. When I'm stuck on something bad, I change the channel. And that's what we got to do. We got to change the channel. So if you're going to get off channel one and you're going to go to another channel, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Well, let's talk about channel two. Let's talk about what's on channel two. All right, so channel two, let me tell you what channel two is called. It's a station that's called, once again, very revolutionary what you're hearing now. It's called tomorrow. Channel two is called tomorrow. Now, channel two, it's a great channel. Let me tell you why channel two is a great channel, because everything on channel two is fresh. It's new. Nobody knows what's going to happen yet. Like every episode of every show on channel two, it ends in a cliffhanger. And so you're just left to wonder, what's next? And there's something sort of like exciting about wondering what's coming next. Let me give you an example. I'm going to give you a date. And for some people in here, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about when I give you this date. Some of you ain't going to have a clue. Here's the date. December 18th, 2015, December 18th. And some of you are like, what? And some of you are like, oh my gosh, he's talking about the new Star Wars movie. 354 days to go. And like last month, J.J. Abrams, the director, he released a 90-second trailer. The first images from the new Star Wars movie. And I'm telling you, people have been going nuts over this movie. Like, they're like dissecting the trailer all 90 seconds, frame by frame. And they're looking at the way flags are waving in the wind. And they're looking at these little robots. They're like in blog articles written about the new lightsaber, man. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know why people are into that? Because we love Channel 2. Because we don't have any idea where we're going to go with this story. And so it's exciting and it pulls us in. There's also, when it comes to our lives, there's something about Channel 2 that we sort of like, there's a sense that we have the ability to sort of tinker with the script a little bit because it hasn't quite all been written, right? You know, let me give you an example. Like sometime this week, let me tell you what's going to happen. Sometime this week, what's going to happen is thousands of people are going to go into their bathrooms first thing in the morning, and they're going to step onto a scale before January 1st. Whew. And they're going to decide to tinker with the script. It's going to be like, you know, we need to do something about that. You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, evaluating where you've been. You should do that. Look forward to where you're going. Make changes in your life. But here's the deal. Just like with Channel 1, you don't want to get stuck on Channel 2. And you can get stuck on Channel 2 with good stuff and bad stuff. And it's like, well, how can being stuck on the good stuff be bad? I mean, looking forward to good stuff, how can that be bad? Let me break this down for you. I know a lot of Christians. I know too many Christians. And all they ever talk about, man, is how awesome it's going to be one day when we get to heaven, when we make it to eternity, man, when Jesus comes back and, man, we can say goodbye to this sorry old rock and all the sin that's here and all the perversions here. We can get our place in glory. Oh, man, that's going to be a great day. And we just sort of have to hold on till Jesus comes back. Holding on to tomorrow, to eternity. Now, I could go into a lot of theological problems with that line of thinking. Not the eternity part, okay? Not the eternal life part, okay? But here's the deal, you know. If all Jesus wanted to do was get us to heaven, then it makes sense to me that the moment we said yes to him, we would like be on an elevator out of here, right? But something else must be up. And that's why for those who are kind of like bent that way and always focused on tomorrow and are stuck on channel 2 when it comes to this kind of stuff, the younger generation, this millennial generation of Christians, they don't jive with that at all, because to them, they not only are they interested in the next life, but they're sort of interested in this life, and they're interested in what God's doing on this creation and the people who live on this planet now. And so things like immigration and racial tensions and clean water and ending malaria and Earth Day and all that kind of stuff sort of like really important to them. They feel very responsible to God's creation now and making a difference now while they wait on Jesus to come back in the then. And so, you know, you can get stuck on the good stuff. When I was a kid growing up, there used to be a saying that floated around that some people are so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly good. And I think that's the sentiment that's reflected here. But, you know, some folks also get stuck on the bad stuff when it comes to Channel 2. Now, just like Channel 1 has its own problems, Channel 2 also has a problem for those who get stuck there. See, for some people, the future, it equals fear. And it equals a problem that exists in our culture and in the church that is actually more prevalent than even depression. Matter of fact, out of all mental health issues, the issue of anxiety is the number one issue that plagues people. It's the fear of the unknown, the fear of the future, the fear of tomorrow, what's going to happen next. I've met Christian couples who don't want to have children because they're afraid to bring them into this world and what this world is going to be for the future generations. So they just are like, we're not going to have children. But beyond that, people suffer on a much deeper level. And I got to tell you, even within my own family context, I've been exposed to this on some level. And I'm telling you that I know that the mind can run in all kinds of directions and in circular thinking and into patterns where you can't break out of it. And it could be fear of health issues or fear of what might happen with my health or fear of this or that or what's going to happen with my family. All kinds of fears that creep in. And it's all related. It's all related to being stuck on Channel 2 and a fear of tomorrow. And the CDC says that a full 40 million members of our nation struggle with this, 20% of the population. So that means if we numbered off 1 to 5 in this room, 1 out of every 5 of us would have something going on in that area right now. And I got a feeling that I've really got your attention now, because I got a lot of folks really staring at me. Because this is not just an academic exercise or a theological exercise. This is like real life for a lot of people, isn't it? It may not be you, but it might be somebody you love dearly, and they're stuck on Channel 2. So Jesus has something to say about Channel 2. It's amazing. It's amazing. I never cease to be surprised at how relevant the Bible is. So Jesus has something to say about Channel 2 in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read a little bit longer section here because it's just so good. The words of Christ, Matthew 6:34. Jesus says, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about Channel 2. Because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Can I get an amen on that? If you want to back up from verse 34, just kind of back up to what Jesus was saying in total, go to verse 25, and he kind of just expands on the whole deal. He says in verse 25, this is why I tell you, don't worry about your life. Now, in some translations, and you may have a copy of one of these translations, that word worry, you'll see that it's translated the word anxious. So what Jesus is saying is, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body. What you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Oh man, you need to underline this. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying? You know what Jesus is saying? Can any of you change anything about tomorrow by worrying about it? We think we can write the script. What Jesus is saying is, in reality, I'm the one writing the script. Jump down to verse 31. Jesus continues. He says, so don't be anxious. There's that word. Don't be anxious saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For the idolaters eagerly seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But you need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be provided for you. I want you to listen to me, church. This is Jesus' way of saying, change the channel. You need to change the channel. Whatever you got to do, change the channel. If you need to go see someone that can help you, to help you change the channel, go see someone that can help you to help you change the channel. Do what you have to do, but you got to get off of the channel. So you get off of channel one, you get off of channel two. I told you, how many channels are there in your life? Only three. It's very simple. So let's talk about channel three. Where are you going to end up at? Channel three. You ready? Channel three is a station called, you may want to guess, Today. Today. You know what today is? Today is now. I mean, it's this very minute. It's this very moment. You see, now you can do something about today. You can't do anything about channel one. Listen, it's over. It's done. It's gone. Listen, I've seen every episode of Gilligan's Island, and they're stuck on the island at the end of every episode, all right? They're never getting off. Now, don't throw the specials at me that came later, all right? You get my point. My point is, you can relive it over and over and over, but you're never going to change it. You're never going to change it. Darth Vader will always be Luke's father. No matter how many times you don't want it to be that way or you want to change it. And you can live it and you can go over it, the pain, the good old times, whatever. But listen, that script is written and there's nothing you can do to change it. But you can change the channel. And here's the deal. You don't have any control over tomorrow. It's not written yet. And let me tell you something else about tomorrow. Tomorrow will always be one day away. Tomorrow will always be just out of your grasp. But you've got today. The Bible says in Psalm 118, verse 24, I love this promise. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Listen to me. I've got a feeling that some of you today, this was not you this morning, was it? So you've ended up at church, but I've just got a feeling that for some folks in here today, that when you got up this morning, when your alarm went off, when your feet hit the ground, and you started walking around, the very last thing that was on your mind was that this is the day the Lord's made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And some of you have just barely found yourself here today because you're stuck on channel one. Or maybe you're stuck on channel two. Maybe there's some depression or some anxiety. Or maybe there's someone in your life struggling with either one of those, and it's just sapped today from you. Let me tell you something. You can do something with today.